Joining us now from the IRS is our good friend Michael Devine. And Michael, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, let's talk about the 2021 filing season. How can it already be that time of year?
Well, it is. You know, time just marches along, whether you're paying attention or not. And most people have been. We actually had, with everything that happened this year, we actually had a pretty good filing season. And most people think filing season ends in April or, you know, a little bit later if we extend a deadline. But it actually doesn't stop until October 15th. And that's the deadline for anyone who got an extension to file, had to get their taxes in. So as of October the 22nd, which is the statistics date that I've got most current, we received about 167 million individual tax returns. About 90% of those were filed electronically, and we've been processing them. As long as you e-filed, you know, it was really probably good. You probably got your refund unless there was a mistake. People that filed by paper, there were delays because of COVID. And a lot of people have tried to call us. Unfortunately, we're still under COVID restrictions, so not a lot of people got through. But many people, many more than in the past, have been using our website, irs.gov, to find information. Our numbers this year so far, more than 1.8 billion visits to irs.gov to find information. So it's a great place to go find information, and you can usually do that without having to wait on hold for long periods of time.
Good to know. And of course, you mentioned these e-files from the state of Illinois. We've got more than 6 million just in Illinois from e-file.
That's the right number. We expected to get a little more than 6 million, but that number is right in the expected range. We anticipate and project what we're going to get every year so that, you know, we have the systems ready for it. So we're right on line with what we expected to get. And next year is looking like another year. Hopefully it will be easier, simpler, with less drama than we had this year, so that everybody, you know, can get their returns in and get their refunds.
Now let's talk about what people need to do before the end of this year so they can be prepared for next year.
Yeah, December 31st is the date when it comes to tax returns. And it's really important this year. If you moved, you need to tell the IRS. You can tell the post office. Make sure you tell your banks, your financial institutions, your employer. Because next January, you're going to start getting documents that you need for your tax returns, W-2s and 1099s. It's also probably not a bad idea to use an IRS form you may not be familiar with. It's the 8822. It's a change of address form. Yes, the post office will tell us when you file one of those, but filing one directly with the IRS means that we have your most current address, and that's really important because pretty soon we're going to be sending notices and letters about credits that people received this year. If you got married or unmarried or added a family member, Social Security numbers are critical. You need to make sure that any name changes are reported to the Social Security Administration because they give us a master file of what names go with what Social Security number. And if the information on your tax return doesn't match exactly, it's going to slow down processing while we look at it to see if someone had stolen your identity and was trying to file a fraudulent tax return. So there's a lot of things you need to do and start thinking about the records you're going to get this year that you'll need, you know, for next year. And just think about taxes. Do it now before we get into the holiday season heavy. So that you've got a place to put things and you know what you should get. So if you don't receive them, you're more prepared to find out why you didn't and get them in time to file.
Indeed. These are the best tips you can have to avoid being shocked by your taxes next year.
Right. You know, nobody likes a surprise other than, oh, I'm getting a bigger refund. But, you know, it's a case of we send about $14.5 billion to taxpayers who overpaid unemployment compensation. They didn't know better because during filing season, the law changed. And so people who were on unemployment and filed taxes early ended up getting kind of a surprise refund for that. About 11.7 million people did that. And that's where, you know, we knew there was a problem and we fixed it automatically. But you've got to, you know, think about these things. And don't just think about taxes when you're doing your return. It's one of the things to think about all year.
Oh, absolutely. That is key. You can't, these little details that you keep track of throughout the year can pay off big next year.
Right. One of the things that we say is, you know, if you've got a nice safe place to put documents, anything that you receive that you think, I used that on my last tax return, maybe I need to keep this, whether it's an electronic form or a paper form. Electronic is pretty safe. Paper forms, you want to put those someplace that's not a box on the shelf that says tax documents, because if a crook breaks into your house, that's one of the things they're going to take, because it's got everything they need to steal your identity. So, but, you know, trying to avoid a sticker shock next year when you file your return, we've got something on our website called the Tax Withholding Estimator. And this is a great time to go in and use that. Get your last pay stub and any documents you got from your banks. And you can actually go in and put the information in for how much money you made this year. If you're retired, that would be pension plans, anything that you've got money from, it's probably taxable. Put it into the estimator, and then you will get a very, very accurate, you know, projection of what taxes you will owe next year. And if you're being underwithheld during the year, that means you're going to have to pay next year. If you're overwithheld, you'll get a refund. And we like to say that the perfect tax return, you don't owe anything, you don't get anything back, so you paid what you owed, but you had all the money in your pocket during the year rather than waiting to file your tax return. So if you have questions about, well, what is taxable income, there's all that information on IRS.gov. The things you really need to worry about are non-wage income. If you're self-employed, if you've been making money in the stock market or trading bitcoins, that's a really big one this year. Social Security benefits can be taxable. Did you get insurance payouts at the end of the year? If you get a bonus, you may get it late in the year, and so the taxes weren't withheld from that. So a lot of things to think about. And if you're ready for it, the estimator will help you, you know, decide, okay, I've been really under withheld this year, so I need to make a one-time payment so that I don't look at a penalty for not paying everything that I needed, you know, during the year. We've kind of got a pay-as-you-go system. You pay taxes as you earn the money, and if you don't pay it, there could be penalties involved with being under withheld, especially if it's more than 90% of what you paid last year.
You made an interesting point there as well, and about how to report your income. And we've got this, what we call the rise of the gig economy, with people who are working jobs where they're getting paid on each individual gig, and you must keep track of that very thoroughly.
Oh, absolutely. One of the worst things that you can get is an unexpected 1099 in the mail. I once was speaking to a radio host, not at your station, who did some voice work in another state. And he filed his tax return, and then he got a 1099 from that voice work, and they didn't withhold anything. And about the time he got that, he got a letter from the IRS saying, you underreported your income, you know, please talk to us. And so he had to file an amended return. He had to pay the tax and a penalty because he didn't report that income. So if you're doing gig economy, you're self-employed, you may have to pay other taxes, and not just income tax, on the money that you earn. So if you're self-employed, if you've got that gig job, go to IRS.gov. You can look up exactly what it means to be self-employed, what you have to do, or go find a good tax professional and work with them so that they know the tax law. They know what you should be doing, and their services can be well worth it rather than have a problem with the IRS next year.
What about remote work? You're working, say, like in Illinois, but your job, the company that you're working for, is in California. Are you going to get multiple forms from people from different states?
It is possible that will happen. Yes, it's similar to, you know, working in St. Louis and living in Belleville, Illinois, across the river. I had to pay Illinois tax and Missouri tax and city tax, and I would get, you know, so I had to do all that. And so if you're getting a 1099 from a company in, you know, in California, they're going to report that to the state of California. California is going to wonder why you didn't file a California return. So, yeah, that's one of the things that you really need to pay attention to, is where you're making your money. And sometimes they will not worry about it. Other times, yes, that can be a real problem. And failure to file usually involves, you know, penalties and interest on what you didn't pay. So if you're getting money from another state, you really need to look at, you know, are they going to tax you on that? Should you have been paying taxes? You know, it's a lot of things involved with working for yourself that you don't have to worry about when you've got an employer and you're just getting a W-2.
Let's talk about things for the 2021 tax returns, like the recovery rebate credit.
Right. A lot of things happening with taxes. The recovery rebate credit, there were three of those, one in 2019, or two in 2019, and one in 2020. So that third payment was made this year. And so you should have received a notice or a letter in the mail, a notice 1444, that very specifically spelled out how much you received. And you need to keep that with your tax records, not because it's taxable, but so that you can report, I got this much. And then, and we've had it happen before where people, you know, got one amount, but they were eligible for more after we did, you know, the crunch the numbers. So those are the documents you need to have. The IRS will ask for them. Your, you know, tax professional certainly will ask for them. An advanced child tax credit, that was a big one this year. We are in January, the IRS will start sending letters to more than 36 million families who received advance payments of the child tax credit. And just really quick, that's about, you know, if your kids are under six, that's $300 a month for each child. So $1,800 is what you could have received this year, but the credit is actually worth $3,600. So you got half. Well, next year, when you file your 2021 return, you're going to reconcile what you received with what you were eligible for. And if you got everything, great, you're going to get the other half. If you were overpaid or underpaid, then, you know, that all works out. This can be a real problem. Let's say that there's split custody of children, and the parent, one parent has them this year for taxes and the other parent has them the following year for taxes. Well, because we used older tax returns, the parent who doesn't have them this year may have been getting the credit money, the advanced child tax credit. So when that parent files next year, they're going to get told pay it back. The other parent, when they file and claim the children, they're going to get it all as a lump sum. Gets a bit complicated. Depends on your situation. But if you want to know more, there's a great deal of information. We've got pages and pages of frequently asked questions on the website that you can go in and you probably will find, you know, somebody else asked the question that you've got and there's an answer in there, so you know, okay, I'm good, or I need to go find a good tax professional to work with.
That's such a great point, because the complexities, especially if you have some big complex change in your life, whether it's a divorce or the loss of a family member, these things need to be kept track of, and a professional can really help you with that.
Absolutely correct. And when you're looking for a tax professional, now is a great time to look for that tax professional. They're not really busy right now doing taxes because tax season's over. You can go in and talk to them and find out how long they've been in business. Are they current on tax law? Because they're required to. If, you know, CPAs have really tremendous amount of ongoing education. You know, the local tax professional, they could be very current too, but it's up to you to figure out whether or not the person that you're giving your information to is really well qualified to do that. But when it comes to, you know, claiming credits, you know, since the first advanced child tax credit started going out in July, we've sent about $77 billion to families that were eligible. And we've done some number crunching, and I do not know how they did this, really, but I pulled some numbers, and it looks like more than 36,000 Illinois children who are under the age of 18, which means they would be eligible for this. They had a Social Security number, but that Social Security number was not listed on any 2019 or 20 tax return, which means they weren't claimed and nobody got that credit. Now, you know, the qualifying child could be a son, a daughter, a stepchild, you know, a sibling, a grandchild. So if, you know, if you didn't, if you've heard people talking about getting, you know, these, you know, payments on the 15 for their kids, and you didn't get one and you've got a child who's 17 or younger, you probably need to go to the website, IRS.gov, and find out, are we eligible? And, you know, it's too late now to do anything except file your tax return next year. But make sure that anybody's eligible gets claimed. The IRS wants you to pay what you owe, but we want you to, you know, claim every credit and deduction you're eligible for, because that's the law, and reduce your tax bill, and you could end up with a big refund that you didn't expect simply because you did your due diligence, you got a tax professional or a volunteer site, you know, AARP, you know, for senior citizens and VITA sites for people that make less than about $60,000 a year. They're all trained by the IRS, and they can do the, you know, do your, you know, basic tax return and make sure that it's correct, it's e-filed, and that you get every dollar back that you're eligible for.
Before we let you go, Michael, let's talk about scams. What are we looking at in terms of scams this year?
The scammers never go away. They just, you know, they're kind of like those little bugs that we want to spray with the stuff, you know, and they crawl back out of the woodwork when we least expect them. And holidays are a big time for them. They will create false websites. They will find, you know, if there's a disaster, they will, you know, create something and ask you for donations. And be very, very, very careful. Anytime someone asks you for your personal or financial information, we've been told that 90% of all identity data thefts begin with a phishing email. You know, you get something that says, hey, can you verify this information for me? Well, it didn't come from the, you know, the IRS or your employer. So just be very careful about anything that comes in that you don't expect. And sometimes even if you think you know someone is sending you an email asking you for information, their email address may have been stolen and a crook is trying to use it. So just be very careful. If you're going to make a donation to a charitable cause, if you're not familiar with them, you can go to IRS.gov. We have a tax-exempt database where you can go in and actually look and see whether they are registered with the IRS and are a legitimate charity. So it's just a case of be generous if you can, but also be careful and not give your money to a crook.
All right. Well, Michael Devine, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. And, you know, just, you know, have a great holiday season.